The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the ParaX Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And how's it shaking?
How's everybody shaking right
now?
Yeah,
I know.
Shaking's probably not the right word.
We wish we were shaking. Let's put it that way.
Moving and shaking.
Moving and a shaking, moving and a grooving, you know. And I just feel like, wow, this whole being at home thing is really getting old now. It's really getting to be a drag, can I just say? I mean, yeah. I've been accomplishing tons. Honestly, this is great. But it sure would be nice to go somewhere and sit down and have dinner, for example. Wouldn't that be nice? I just think, but soon.
Well, I actually had, I put the word out to some folks in the paranormal community and just said, you know, some of them that come to the meetups and stuff. And I said, hey, if you want to come over for a backyard picnic, this was on Sunday. I said, just, you have to bring your own food and bring your own chair. Because you're going to spread out in the backyard.
Six feet apart, we can't
share any food. We can't do potluck or anything. It's just so Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, bring your own stuff to eat and drink and then a chair, and then we'll spread out in the backyard, you know, so that we're safe distance away from each other, and we'll hang out and have some like real person face-to-face time. And it was a last minute spur of the moment thing. And I think 6 or 7 people ended up coming and it was really fun. And then we ended up moving over and having a fire when it started getting cooler. And it was nice to have humans like, in, you know, that you don't live with, not that they're bad, but it's nice to have other humans with you.
Yeah. So cool. Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, with the social distancing, so it was my brother Chris's birthday on Saturday, and my niece Dolly called everybody and said, hey, are we going to do a drive-by parade for Chris? And I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. So, yeah, so we all got together a block away, you know, and everybody had streamers on their cars and balloons, which, I don't know, I lost like 4 of them went up. Nothing I could do. It was a windy day. They just got away from me. And it is what it is. But, I mean, we had fun, and a couple of us kind of stopped there, and then we all stood 6 feet apart from each other and looked at each other and, you know, whatever. But now we have another one. Both my sister and brother-in-law's birthdays are this coming week, too, so I'm sure we'll be going over there, too. So cool. It's all good. But, yeah, this whole distance thing, you know, we've been out squatching, and, you know, I've been with Carrie this whole time. You know, we've gone out many times together, so it's no big deal. And then Katie came this weekend to Minnesota for the first time from Wisconsin for a long time. And we went, and it was just awesome to get out in the woods with those girls, you know. So always fun, but yeah, that was a real treat to hang with others, you know, not you know, just, you know, the few that I hang with all the time. So, but yeah, I just, wow. It'll be really nice when we can see everybody. I really miss my family. Can I just say? It's hard.
Yeah. I see my friends more often than I see my family. I'll say, I mean, I see my family, but usually just on holidays, and that's cool. We text and stuff, but I miss my friends. Yeah. Like you said, going out to dinner is, I didn't realize how much I would miss that until you can't do it.
Oh, I know.
And I always enjoyed it, and I never said I didn't enjoy it. I love it. I will go out to breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever.
Right.
But that's been hard.
Yeah, I really miss breakfast because, you know, it was always every Saturday, Casey and I would go to Roman's for breakfast. And we still do. We still go buy the food and then we bring it home and eat it. You know, we laugh with Roman and, you know, whatever, and grab our food and come home. But it's not the same, you know.
Yeah.
We just want to go there and eat there, you know. But hopefully soon, right? Hopefully soon. I hope they figure it out because, you know, this is just enough, I think.
Well, I think we all have to figure it out. I understand that we need the, you know, people in the positions of, you know, finding either vaccines or whatever, cures, or I don't know how that would even work or if it's even possible, but we all have to make the effort too, just to maybe do things a little differently going forward. So,
well, for sure. Yeah. Well, for sure. And, you know, who knows when we're going back to work. You know, our company has said not even the whole month of May. So who knows? I mean, some people are pushing it out until maybe July. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's like, oofta, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't work for some of us small businesses, I tell
you. Yeah. I mean, for, you know, I think that they'll probably, the governor will probably tell everybody they can maybe start going back in a couple of weeks. But I love that, you know, like some people in our office are really afraid, you know, because they live with multi-generation households, you know, and they don't want to bring home grandma, for example. So I get it. And I'm really glad that our leadership has said, you know, we are not ready to go back to the office, and for sure not in May, maybe in June. We'll just have to see, you know, but it would be nice to get back in the old routine. You know, I mean, I feel like there's just no routine right now. You know, I mean, there is, I try to make it so, but you know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
When you're working out of your kitchen or your, you know, your extra room or the basement or whatever, you know, so.
Well, let me tell you what I do. It's not the same. So with my work. So.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see if there's a studio to get back to when this is all over.
No kidding, right? Oh, yeah. It's crazy. But the good news is we're beating this thing, right? The curve is flattening and, you know, people are better and Minnesota's leading the way. So that is phenomenal. You know?
Yes, that's the most important thing, is we get ahead of the, you know, give the hospitals time to make room if needed. And that's good.
Exactly.
Hopefully they don't need it. Hopefully we, something, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that would mean, but hopefully we don't need the hospitals. That would be good.
Yeah, well, I sure hope so. But I do think we all need to get back into the same location, because we need to get that immunity up. And the only way to do that is to be together. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be closer than 6 feet, but people need to start going out again, you know, and being in the work environment and all that kind of stuff. So just my opinion, but anywho, so tonight we're going to talk about kind of news of the weird and paranormal and cryptozoology and UFOs and all kinds of stuff, because we haven't done that for a while. And so we thought tonight would be a good night to do that.
Yes. And I was talking about that this weekend when I had the group over, and I saw this documentary, and I was trying to find it now because they were asking me on Sunday what this documentary was, and I couldn't figure it out. I know that there's been episodes on ancient aliens of this, but it was a documentary that, I don't know, it was a couple hours long. It was cool. And they were talking about the moon, and you've probably heard this theory, the moon being a space station, an extraterrestrial space station. And it kind of just got me all interested in it, because there were so many things that they put out there that show, like, you have to think about it. And I can't repeat the scientific stuff behind it because I'm not that minded, I guess. But they had some interesting theories, like the things that they were saying, like, why is this like this? Why isn't this happening? Why is it related to the moon and the earth and how they kind of go together and whatever? And so I understand all sides of it, like what, you know, you hear like, oh, no, it's a moon that orbits Earth. And then some now are saying, well, it could be a, you know, a space station, or, you know, an alien like satellite or something. And it's like, that was interesting to me. I was watching that and I thought, oh my goodness. So then I started looking it up, and I found all these shows on ancient aliens, which I have not seen all the episodes of Ancient Aliens, which is probably a crime, but there was some episodes on there it looked like, and I was starting to watch some of them, but how cool, I thought. Like that gives them like this place that's super close to Earth to go back and forth, you know, and have this little stopping area before they come to Earth.
Have they ever found anything up there that would indicate that? Like the astronauts, when they were up there, did they find anything that would?
There's a ton of stories, and, you know, astronauts when they were there, you know, that supposedly they were supposed to keep things quiet, or it's, mm-hmm. you know, top secret, so they can't say it. But then after a while, things were out. And so there have been, and you guys can probably all look it up and find what yeah. I found. But there's a ton of stuff out there with, you know, things that have been seen that can't be explained, you know, especially before we started landing there, that they had seen that was already there. And it was like, hey, nobody's supposed to have been here yet, at least from Earth. So what are these structures? Anyway, and so it was really interesting. So that got the conversation going on Sunday a little bit. And I wish I could find that documentary. I'm going to keep looking for it because it was really interesting. And I want to watch it again and then put it out there for people to see. And then they can, I guess, decide for themselves.
I have heard conspiracy theories and stuff like that about the moon. And, you know, astronauts are saying, I've heard that the astronauts have said that they have seen UFOs in outer space, that they've mm-hmm. seen what they feel is extraterrestrials. And of course the government says, no, no, we don't talk about that. You know, the whole conspiracy issue again. So, mm-hmm. you know, who really knows what goes on out there? We don't, that's for sure. You know?
Well, I think there's a lot more information than we are getting access to. And, you know, there's so many things. I mean, if you look up how many people have said, you know, that are astronauts or, you know, observing the moon or whatever, and have said some interesting, you know, had some interesting theories or, you know, what they feel is evidence. And I don't know. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting thought. Am I 100% on board with it? No. Mm-hmm. But then again, could it be, you know, that just because that's, you know, when you think of something that you've known or, so, you know, you've known your whole life, and then you know, something else comes in that contradicts that, it kind of makes your brain short circuit a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that could be why I'm not 100% on it. Cause I'm like, well, no, it's the moon, you know, it's not that. So I don't know if it's just my brain going, you know, trying to, you know, switch one out for the other.
Trying to work it in. But, you know, they also have said, you know, I don't know if you've heard about this, and I just became aware of it a few weeks ago, but, you know, they're saying that the moon landing was faked, the filming of it, you know. I'm not saying that the moon landing was faked, but what we saw on TV back in the day was just actual actors, you know, that the guy that filmed, I can't remember what his name is now, Space Odyssey was the one that filmed it, you know, mm-hmm. and they're saying that's, I mean, okay, another conspiracy theory, right? I mean, really? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it was interesting because I've seen, I don't know, one or two shows that go into that, and they have a pretty compelling case when they mm-hmm. point out all the things that they show is like, well, how is this possible if this, you know, how is mm-hmm. that possible? And they point things out that you go, oh my God, that seems so stupid. Like, why didn't we notice that? Yeah. So then you kind of wonder about it, but then you also think, well, maybe did we go to the moon and they totally botched the filming of it? Because let me tell you, anybody that works with any kind of technology in the history of technology knows that technology fails so often and usually at crucial moments. So how is it that you can have this, you know, first moon landing and all of the technology, including the video equipment, worked perfectly? Like, when does that ever happen?
Never.
Right? Yeah. We can't even get freaking Skype to work, you know, when we're, you know, trying to do our radio show some days. So it's like, really? Okay. Yeah. Yes. So I can understand maybe they did it and they totally like lost video or nothing worked and they had to recreate it to make it like, I don't know. I'm guessing, but mm-hmm. And I know that they have a lot of really smart people that mm-hmm. make sure that this stuff works, but technology is technology. Like, I don't know, across the board, technology is ever flawless. And
never.
Perfect.
And that was back in the 60s, right? So that was the late 60s, right? And I seem to remember being a very small child watching a black and white TV on gold legs because it was like a gold TV stand. And we all got up super late in the middle of the night to watch this because it was a historic moment, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, who knows? Who really knows? But, you know, like Dave is saying, the shadows were wrong. But then Kat is saying, well, why spend the money to fake a moon landing? Well, the thing is, the movie, the Space Odyssey movie, was already in production. So, and they say that I wish I could think of that man's name. I should see if I could find it. But he was just a genius when it came to that kind of stuff. And they say that they just, you know, they just had this filmed. So
And I know, like, I remember seeing, like, the shadows from the filming and stuff were wrong. What, you know, Dave had said there in the chat room. And so, yeah, stuff like that, you go, huh? Oh, okay, that makes sense. If, you know, everything's lined up the way they say. And, but I, you know, why would, and then his cat said, why would they spend the money to fake a moon landing? Well, I would imagine there's a lot of, you know, for political reasons, and I couldn't probably think of them, but I'm guessing. And, you know, funding and money and would be my top guesses, not under knowing why, but, or how, but that's what I would think is money and politics would probably be the top. So you fake it. So you think, you know, you get whatever you get from that. Stanley or they did it and they didn't have the video for it because it, you know, conked out on them. Because that's what happens for technology, and they filmed it and they, you know, screwed it up, which I don't know why you'd screw something like that up, but you think you'd think about it.
And, you know, like Dave is saying, you know, they had to deliver something. The public had great expectations. Well, yeah, so maybe they did film it just in case, and then that just in case moment happened, and so then that's what they showed. But we will never know. I mean, maybe someday we will, but... so, okay, so Jerry's talking about the whole satellite, the moon base for extraterrestrials. Aliens on the Moon, The Truth Exposed, 2014.
Yeah, he sent that, saying that might be the one that I was talking about, and I'm going to have to go check it out. So thanks for sending that, because I've been, like, frantically since Sunday trying to find it. So that if that's the one, I'm totally going to watch it again, because it was really interesting. Aliens on the Moon, The Truth Exposed in 2014. So there it is, everybody. If you want to check it out, watch it, see what you think. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting thing to think about, because I think any paranormal investigator has to be open to possibilities, right? You know, or anybody that's investigating something that can't be or isn't yet proven, or, you know, if it's still... you know, we speculate about it. So I don't know. I'm open to the wild and crazy.
Well, and Kat is saying that, you know, as far as a base, it makes more sense that ETs would just have a base here under the ocean. Isn't like we could go down as far as they could, assuming anyone would want to have a base here. You know, have you heard about that other theory about underneath the Denver airport, that there's a whole subterranean alien stronghold?
So, not just there, there's others. I can't think of where, but I've heard that. And, you know, when I've talked to my spirit guides about this, because I'm curious, you know, that, and I get what, you know, Kat is saying about under the ocean, because we can only go so far, and, you know, there's only so many places we can go in the universe, and of course that's, you know, that's infinite. But they're, you know, I've been told by my spirit guides that they're here too. And the government is well aware of them, are interacting with them, are working with them, you know, have deals with them. But they have different bases all over the planet. And that's one of them that I've heard of. And not from my spirit guides. I didn't hear that from them. But they have made it quite clear that this is a for sure deal, and they're here, and there's different kinds. Some of them are working with the government. Some are not, you know, some are not in line. So anyway, interesting stuff.
Well, and then they're always saying that people with negative Rh negative blood are really aliens. Who knows? You know, and then Dave is saying there are some who will tell you that we went to the moon once and we were warned not to return. I have heard that too.
I've heard that too.
Do not come.
Well, back. And I guess it would make sense if we landed on their space station.
Right. You know,
we landed on their space station and they're like, excuse us.
Get out. Get out.
You better not come back. Mm-hmm. You know what's good for you.
Kat says, ask the smoking man because he knows. I forgot.
He probably does. He probably does. If anybody's going to know, it's going to be him.
Gosh,
he's got his finger in every little conspiracy.
I missed that show. That was such a good show. But yeah, so
it's always the reruns.
Wow, yeah. Lots of chatter. This is a good one to bring up. My goodness. Oh, here we go. Fly Denver Airport. Yeah. It's crazy. And then they have that monster horse out in front with the red eyes, and he's even got a name, and I can't remember what it is, but yeah, just craziness. Heard the moon is a roaming UFO base.
That horse with the red eyes reminds me of when we were, you know, I was looking up different stories for the show, and I saw the devil dog with the red eyes. I'm like, that horse all of a sudden starts to look kind of like that.
Right? And he has a name. I got to see if I can find the name of it, because it's a really cool name, and I just can't. I had looked it up once when I heard about this whole thing, because I thought Tommy was crazy when he was telling me this. I said, "You're nuts," you know, and he said, "No, I'm not. Look it up." So I did. But anyway, it's quite the deal. Men in Black, yeah, you know. So we talked to, we met him, Nick Redford. My gosh, he has stories about Men in Black that would curl your toenails. Let me tell you something. I mean, and they're everywhere. You know, it's he did a whole book about it. You know, it's really amazing stuff. Yeah, he's really interesting when he talks about that stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to catch up with the chat room because there's so much going on here.
I know. I know. I'm trying to see if we missed any questions or comments here.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that was the thing that I thought of that I wanted to talk about, only because it came up in conversation on Sunday when I had everybody over. And again, we were social distancing in the backyard, nice and evenly spaced, everyone, if you just tuned in. So, but yeah, we were talking about just, you know, interesting stuff that we've come across lately. And I mentioned that documentary and, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, I suppose, because that, you know, again, it makes my brain short circuit a little bit thinking about it. But I also think it's super cool, because wouldn't that be just fantastic?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It depends on what you think is fantastic or not. I kind of, you know, whatever.
I think it's fantastic, and I would love to, at some point, I'm probably not going to do this because I say it and then I don't really maybe want it to happen, but put a sign out that's like, go ahead and land here.
Oh, my God.
I have a sign in the backyard that lights up at night. UFOs land here. We'll see if they did. I don't think they would. They've probably got other more interesting things to do than come and chat with me. So,
yeah. Well. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want any UFOs landing in my backyard, can I just say?
Well, that's, the thing is that I would ask, and then I can't then decide what they do when they land here, so then that would be the bad part, because I would like them to land on my terms if we do everything on my terms. And I don't think that's how it would work.
So. Yeah, I don't think they'd be listening to you.
No. We're just going to sit and talk. You can't come in, and you can't take me anywhere, and you can't knock me out.
Right? I just want to chat with you for a little while.
Yeah, that's all I want. Can I record it? Maybe video. Just audio? Okay, that's fine. Pictures? Selfie style? No.
Selfie. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the blue Mustang, I had to look it up. The blue horse at the Denver airport is officially named Blue Mustang, but often called Blucifer. Largely to its haunting red eye. And there was a guy, you know, that was actually making it that died there. So, I mean, it's probably haunted as well. But they call him Blucifer, yeah. It's a cast fiberglass sculpture of a Mustang. Crazy! It's called.
And that's the one at the Denver airport?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's quite. Who calls it that? Not the airport.
Well, Blue Mustang is what the airport called it.
But okay.
It's known to locals by the nickname Blucifer. And it's notable for both its striking appearance and for having killed its creator, Luis Jimenez, when a section of it fell on him at his studio.
Whoopsie.
So, yeah. So it's got, and he looks, he looks crazy, man. He looks terrible.
The guy that made him?
No, the
Oh, the horse.
Lucifer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw that picture. I thought you meant the guy that made him. I'm like, that's not right.
No, okay. No. No, Lucifer, yeah. So, anyway, but there's, you know, they say that, because what was wrong with the other Denver airport, you know, the one they had before? There's nothing wrong with it. And then suddenly they had to move out and create this new one. And who who knows what's under their bunkers with who knows what. I don't know. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories. But as you know, there's conspiracy theories about a lot of things in America. Yeah, I know we do. Davis, yeah. We'll talk later. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so crazy stuff. You know, I also caught, I haven't watched hardly any TV, oddly enough, in all this time we've been sitting at home. Because, I don't know, I guess I've just had other things going on. But one of the shows that I did catch was that new one with William Shatner in it. It's called, I don't even know what it's called. I saw one of the episodes. It was really good. And he talked about they go to like four or five different crazy locations, paranormal or interesting or whatever. And one of the places that they went was the Suicide Forest in Japan.
Oh, yeah, you know? I've heard of that. I haven't seen the show.
At the base of Mount Fuji?
I think it's called The Unexplained, right?
Yeah.
I just looked it up, so I'm not, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Oh, it's really a good show. It's really a good show. I really, that was the first episode was the one that I saw. And they talked about this forest. And, you know, Casey was in Tokyo a couple years ago. And she talked about the Suicide Forest. And she always says, Mom, if we go back there, we have to go to the Suicide Forest because I have to see what you feel. And I said, me? How about you? Well, I don't know about that. And I'm like, well, and then they had it on the show, you know, and it was very good the way they did it. It was very interesting. And I thought it was very well done. And they documented, you know, how it's kind of weird because it's grown on a side of a volcano. And so these trees are like really eerie and, you know, they're just, it's all that volcanic ash and volcanic stone. So there's really not a lot there for them to grow on. So they're twisted and spooky and there's kind of, it's otherworldly and people go in there to kill themselves, you know, and there's even signs that say, if you're thinking about doing this, please turn back and call. There's a phone number on there. And they say there's hundreds every year that walk in there and never walk out. Right. Wow. So what a crazy place. But yeah, it was a fascinating show. If you guys are looking for something to watch, tune into this Unexplained, William Shatner. And he is always so good anyway. He's fun to listen to, you know, and he just is, you know, he's William Shatner, Captain Kirk.
Yes, he is.
Oh my gosh.
What a character, isn't he?
Oh, love him. And last night we watched the latest Star Wars movie because it was May the 4th. So, of course, we had to watch The Rise of Skywalker, which we had seen in the theaters, you know, right after Christmas, but I hadn't seen it again. And normally we see it a few times in the theaters, but then my eyeball happened, you know, so I never did.
The eyeball incident.
Theaters. But it's such a good movie. It's such a good movie. It was just, you know, we were both sitting there, eyes glued to the TV. And it's like, it had been long enough in between that we forgot many parts of the show, you know. And it's like, oh, I don't remember that. And again, no, I don't either, you know. So Shatner gives me the willies. Why? I think he's cool, Dave. I don't know why he would give you the willies.
I agree.
I think he's cool. I think he's cool, and I like.
I don't know about the willies, but I think he's an odd bird. Well, but that's fine. I that's cool. To each their own.
He is, but he does a good job. He does a good job at it, right?
Yeah, being an odd bird, I suppose. Yep.
Yeah, because he did another paranormal show or something too before The Unexplained, right, or something like that.
Oh,
something along those lines. I can't remember what it was either, but. I mean, this isn't his first rodeo, for sure, when it comes to explaining.
No.
So, oh goodness. Well, you know what? We've already went through a half of our show. He talks with great pauses. And now...
Oh, yeah, he does.
Halfway show. So, everyone, we will be back in 2 minutes.
You are listening to Para X.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, and perhaps It Takes Two to Tango, but starting on May 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you'll be listening to a new show on the Para-X Radio Network called Tango and Friends with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. For example, his guest will be the stars of the hit TV show on the Travel Channel, Ghost Nation, Steve Gonsalve, and one more tango, Dave Tango. So mark your calendars. That's May 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Tommy. What's shaking?
Oh, just getting ready for this week's show. It's going to be another far-out adventure on He Said, She Said, the Cryptid Show. What happens when you get two cryptid researchers together, one from Minnesota and one from Cryptovania?
I know. It's so much fun. And it's every week, and we get to have fun and talk to different people. And
we don't always agree on everything.
We might even disagree about a thing or two. Oh, my.
One never knows. It's been known to happen before.
And that is the beauty of He Said, She Said, the Cryptid Show on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
That was money in the bank.
Welcome back to the gathering here on the Para-X Network, and we're talking about all sorts of odd little things that we've come across here lately, like the moon being a space station for aliens, and what did we talk about? Alien space station under the Denver airport.
Yeah,
Denver airport. So all sorts of fun stuff coming up here. And then we ended on William Shatner and his new show, or his recently new show. And yeah, all sorts of fun stuff here. And the chat room has been going
bonkers. Cuckoo. Everybody's having a good time. That's good. It's like a party. We're having a party tonight, and everybody's guests. So we're all guests on the Gathering Radio Show tonight. It's fun.
Yes. Yes.
you know, one of the things, so when we were looking, I was looking for news stories for us to talk about tonight, was, you know, one of the things that for a while there, a couple years ago, we kept talking about the lizard man.
Yes.
And, you know, he pops up every once in a while, you know, in conversation. And apparently there's a lizard man festival. Did you know this? Down in South Carolina. Oh, geez, I think it would be really fun to go. It's called the Lizard Man Festival. And it's all about the lizard man of the scape or swamp. How about that?
Of the what or swamp?
The scape or swamp. And it terrorized Lee County in 1988. And according to some, continues to do so today. And, you know, they talk about the legend of the lizard man. And cryptid researcher Lyle Blackburn probably gives the best account of the lizard man in his book, Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster. And it goes in to talk about, and I don't know that we've ever heard this story before, maybe, but I thought Lauren told us a different story when we talked about the lizard man. And then remember how they always said that he always appeared at, like when there's an eclipse, right?
Eclipse.
Remember when last time there was an eclipse, they thought he was good. There was going to be all kinds of sightings. I don't know if there ever was, but, It's a small community called Browntown, South Carolina, and there was the sheriff's office was notified that someone had called in saying their car had been mauled overnight by an animal. And so when they began interviewing the residents, they described seeing a 7-foot-tall creature with red eyes that someone eventually referred to as the lizard man. And they put out the word that if anyone knew anything about the damaged car or a strange creature, that they should contact him. And then on July 16th, my birthday, by the way, resident Tommy Davis brought his 17-year-old son Chris to the sheriff's office, and he explained that when he was heading home from his night shift the night before, he took a short cut down a rural road, and one of his tires went flat. After he finished changing it, he saw a 7-foot-tall green creature with three fingers on each hand and red eyes. And when Davis tried to drive away, it leaped onto the roof of his 76 Celica. Now, do you remember how small those 76 Celicas were? They were pretty small.
Yeah.
By swerving back and forth, he dislodged it and it escaped. The sheriff, who after all had asked the community for information about strange creatures, believed he was telling the truth. He even took a polygraph test and passed. Well, that's pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I hadn't heard that story before, but
no,
crazy. And then there's this other, you know, book, you know, cause people are always researching it. And so this guy wrote a book, but you know, and it says, if you believed a monster was real, why would you travel to its lair? I would.
Many find legends, make sure.
Because that's what we do. Many find legends like the lizard man enthralling, because they are. Because it's cool, right? Anyway, so that's just another, you know, and here's, you know, lots of course, different organizations down there. Cryptid organizations are involved in the Lizard Man, you know. So, oh, yeah. In fact, one of these guys is on my Facebook. I'll have to reach out to him and ask him about that Lizard Man. I think we met
him. Well, and then you have to start.
Kentucky. Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, about when you hear about reptilians and, you know, alien reptilians, and you wonder, like, is this the same kind of thing or related, or I wonder.
I don't know. Maybe it's all connected somehow.
Could be.
Yeah.
They come out at the solar eclipses or lunar eclipses, whatever, solar eclipses, right?
It was Iggy Pop, Dave says. He does kind of look like the Lizard Man. Oh, Sherry says the lizard man just wanted a hug. Well, of course he just wanted a hug. Sherry, would you like to give him one if you ever saw him?
Yeah, there you go. Let us know how that goes.
Yeah. The three-fingered green guy with the red eyes. I don't know. And she
put in the chat room, Loveland, Ohio Frogman.
Yeah.
So I had to look that up because I haven't heard of that before. And I looked it up in this one of the links that I clicked on in the Vintage News. No, that's not it. I looked up something else because I wanted to talk about it. It's a 4-foot-tall frog roaming the marshes on its hind legs. And there's just this video clip, and I haven't played it yet. But the image is, like, freaky. And then I wonder, that's what made me think of this. Could it be someone walking around in some kind of suit? Because it has these glowing eyes, you know? And someone messing around and running around. But then you have to be careful because you could get yourself shot doing something like that. You know, because there's all sorts of people that want to shoot things that they don't understand to see what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, I saw that picture when I just pulled up that site and I was like, oh my God, that's that's weird looking. And I wonder if it's a person in a suit, but be careful. You don't want to get yourself shot when you're roaming around like that.
And then Kat is talking about a grass man in Ohio, too. No, I haven't heard about that. I've heard about the froggy one, but I haven't heard about the grass man.
No, I haven't heard that one. I'm going to have to look that one up. But you know what it made me think of with that frog man when I looked at that picture? I saw this post, and it's been around for a long time. But that guy that would walk around in Florida with those big weighted shoes on that looked, they were like three-toed creatures.
Oh,
they were huge.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think about that kind of stuff. When I saw that one picture, I'm like, well, someone could be walking around in an outfit like the guy did with the big 3-pound weighted shoes, you know, that looked like three toed dinosaurs or whatever. You know, he didn't wear an outfit because you're going to get yourself shot if you do something like that, I would think. Mm-hmm. So he was just walking around. Nobody knows he has these big, you know,
and he
feet on him.
So is he deliberately trying to, you know, make people think there's a monster around? You know,
it's like, he did it for like 30 years.
So there's another Bigfoot team in Minnesota that they were hot on the hunt. Somebody had said that, oh my gosh, there's Bigfoot prints. They went, they have like 2 hours worth of videos out there. I'm not going to say who they are. And then they came to find that they brought in somebody else. And a little ways away from the last print, they found a shoe with a Bigfoot print kind of on the outside. So it was somebody had done this, right? And I said, well, they must not have that because you gave, remember you gave me for Christmas one year, it's the big footprint.
Yeah, I did.
And I still
you put them on your
the
feet.
Car.
You put on your shoes and you put those
so
on.
So when we find them, we find stuff, we always kind of look and say, oh, could this be this, you know? Yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, that's part of why I bought them for you, because I thought, well, it's kind of part of our research, because
it is.
If we could take it with us and put it next to whatever we find, would it look like some, you know, store-bought, you know, fake-out item?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, no.
Because we have to keep that in mind, that something like that could happen. There's going to be people running around faking stuff all over the place.
Well, exactly. And the other thing I got a kick out of was, you know, when you've seen a trail of big footprints, you will never forget it, because not only are they huge, but they're so far apart and they're in a straight, you know, they're not like humans. Even if you try to put one foot in front of the other, they're still a little offset, you know what I mean? And the big footprints are straight line, you know, and they're just so far apart that it's, once you see the real thing, you will never think that a fake one is a fake one, you know? So I was pretty shocked that this particular team thought it was the real thing. And the video was, they were so excited and, oh my gosh, you know, to find that, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the big footprints are too, yeah, a human couldn't do it, because you can't, even if you're running, you would have to have such a stride.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, I don't know, I wouldn't say impossible, because who knows, but.
Oh, well, I mean, the ones that we've found have been like 4 to 5 to 6 feet apart. I mean, what human can do that, first of all, and in a straight line? And they're very evident, you know, every time we're at a Squatch Chat and people show us pictures, they're all the same thing, all in a straight line. Just like the ones we found, you know. So, yeah, interesting. Dave is saying he could make those prints with no shoes on. Yes, you could with those big. He has big feet. Dave will have to take you out and see how your stride looks. Yeah, I don't think you can do this 4 to 6 feet up from each foot, though. You know.
Well, but that would be interesting because of how tall he is, to take him out there and see what it looks like. Like have him actually do it.
Yeah.
You know, and see how, you know, with someone who's really tall, and see what theirs looks like, you know, just for comparison, if anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we should do that maybe. Sherry is asking about, what about the race of ancient giants? Oh, yeah. We talk about those giants. Said to be six-toed with two rows of teeth. I haven't heard about the two rows of teeth. I've heard about the six toes, and I've heard that they are ancient giants. I've also heard that those giants are still among us, but, and that they're very in the far northern ranges, you know, like the Laplands and up in the, you know, way away from normal humans, for example. But
yeah,
Smithsonian does have them. Yep. Oh, it's cool. It's amazing stuff. There's all kinds of amazing stuff out there.
I'd love to get into the Smithsonian, like the behind the scenes stuff. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Yeah.
All the stuff that they have hidden in there.
Oh, yeah. Can you even imagine? I mean, oh my gosh. It would be so fun. But yeah, lots of good stuff. But I haven't heard of the two rows of teeth. That's really interesting. Just going to check back here, make sure we didn't miss anything.
Dave put in there the Anokai? I don't know how to say it. Anokai.
I think that
mythological traditions of the ancient Sumerians. Oh, they're the deities who appear to them. Group of deities. I'll have to look that up, because I haven't heard that before. That's cool. Oh, they had something on ancient aliens, because all you have to do is scroll down, and anything you type in has probably been on ancient aliens. I need to catch up on that.
You know, I've only watched a couple of those Ancient Aliens. It was very good. I think each episode is pretty long, though, right? It's a couple hours, right? It's not like just an hour.
No, usually they're
An hour. Are they just an hour?
Well, some of them are longer. I know that they've got all sorts of different kinds of episodes. What I want to be, though, at some point, I would like to be called an ancient astronaut theorist. Because they say that phrase on the show like 1,000 times.
I'm
like, you know, I would like to be referred to at some point as an ancient astronaut theorist. That sounds pretty cool. Someday, maybe, I'll have to work my way up to get to that point, I think.
That's kind of a mouthful, an ancient
astronaut theorist.
Oh, astronaut. See, I already forgot.
They call everybody that on the show. Like, how is everybody an ancient astronaut theorist? Okay.
Well, I think you could call yourself that. I mean, you know, just put it in the rest of your stuff. An ancient astronaut theorist.
Yeah.
There you go. Kat says, ancient aliens, anything we don't understand, how it's done, built, it's aliens.
It is. They don't get it, it's aliens.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's extraterrestrial.
So, I mean, you look at how, you know, humans are pretty smart and clever, but we couldn't have been that smart and clever, right? So it had to have been aliens. Like, well, seriously, we can figure this stuff out. We could, you know, there's so much lost information and, you know, lost, you know, technology that, not talking electronic technology, but, you know, in math and science, that they had this stuff figured out, and then all of a sudden it's alien. Everything has to be aliens. And I know that they're theorizing, they're not saying it is, but I do like the show. I just haven't watched it as much in the last few years that I probably should get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should watch a few episodes. Like I said, I've seen a few, and you know, I just don't watch a lot of TV anymore. It's kind of crazy, actually. But, you know, and when I do, it's like I have something I want to watch, for, you know, that I just have to watch, you know, and I don't really just sit down there and, you know, and here's the thing about TV is there's a million channels out there and there's almost nothing to watch usually. Can I just say? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so, okay, so remember the movie The Conjuring?
Yep, loved it.
So there's a real-life Conjuring house, you know.
Yep.
And so the real house behind that film, The Conjuring, is going to be live-streamed for 1 week starting on Saturday, May 9th.
Oh, that, I heard that. I forgot about it, though, but yeah, I heard that. Oh, I'm going to have to tune into that.
Yeah, and so the live stream, it says, has been organized by the current residents of the house in collaboration with By the Dark Zone Network and will be available to watch at their site. And it said during the stream, the residents, the Heinzen family, will conduct paranormal investigations, seances, Ouija board sessions, and invite some of the most well-known and respected luminaries in the paranormal community to pop in remotely and share their most bone-chilling experiences from the house.
Hmm. That's crazy. And it looks like there are tickets available.
Oh, one-day passes.
Yeah, one-day pass is $4.99, or a week-long pass is $19.99.
Oh,
well, I would do the week-long pass, because why not? What does it go towards? Is them?
I don't know.
For all this setup. I don't know. It says here, a portion of the proceeds will be donated to COVID-19 charities, World Central Kitchen, Gary Sinise Foundation, and Global Giving. Oh, that's good.
Well, that's good. But, so they're saying that, okay, so the tagline for this is, the world is on lockdown, and so is the family living in the house that inspired The Conjuring, you know?
But is stuff happening to, like, I don't, is there stuff happening to them currently?
Well, they say it's, from what I've read, there's always, it never ends. You know, there's always stuff going on there. So I don't, who knows? You know, some of those houses are just that way. They just never, or if somebody goes in and clear them, like those of us who do that, and then they ask them back or they start talking to them again, and then they come back. So there you go, people. You can look that up. The Conjuring House, if you want to look, and it talks about, that people will hear from Andrea Perrin, author and survivor of the original Haunting, and Kristen Lumen. I'm not familiar with her, from Ghost Hunters. So a lot of people will be on there. People from the Paranormal Files and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Might be kind of fun to tune in. And,
so are they going to all be wearing masks and stuff, or what's happening here? Because if we're on lockdown.
Right? I don't know. It says that they will, it says the Heinzen family will show you how they live amongst spirits while toughing out this worldwide pandemic. You will get an immersive and interactive look inside the real Conjuring house.
Well, I hope the people that go over there are going to wear masks. They don't need to be tracking in all this stuff if there's, I don't know, I'd be nervous to have all sorts of people in my house if I was with this pandemic going on.
Yeah, I would.
Well, hopefully they're wearing masks. Maybe they are. I mean, maybe they are.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Cool, though.
Yeah.
Sherry is asking about Zach Bagans. Well, Zach Bagans, I also saw some news about him and something about their last show. Did he see the real hag or something? I didn't see it, so I can't really speak to that one. But yeah, they're saying something about they show a picture, and is it really a ghost or is it just something else? And I gotta look and see if I can find where it was that they were. It wasn't familiar to me where they were, but it was the old hag. Did they really see the old hag in the mirror? Who is the old hag? I guess I don't know the story.
I didn't see the episodes. I don't know.
I don't know. It was just on, and they exactly right. And it talks about something about the old hag, and there is a photo here. But of course, people are saying they had their doubts. Zach says, "This is legit evidence, of course, because that's how Zach is." And then they show the pictures, but you know those pictures are pretty. I don't know if I look at them. I don't think they're very conclusive to my eye, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows for sure? It looks like maybe a handprint or something, I think. But here, you know what? I'm going to put it right on the chat room, unless somebody already has, since I have it up here. And you guys can look and see what you can tell us. But, you know, of course, they claim that it's real stuff. Of course. I don't know. Some industrial place they were at. I've never heard of it before.
Check it out.
Here we go. Let's see if I can get it in here. Anyway, so yeah. It's always fun to kind of look at that kind of stuff.
Jerry doesn't like Zach, it looks like.
I know. He does not like him at all. And of course, they claim everything is real, and you know, we know that it's not. So,
well, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's you know, I have to say it's kind of funny watching the show. I don't look at it as serious. I kind of look at it right. as entertainment, though.
It is.
Because if I can last the whole show to watch it, it kind of is funny. So,
you know, I think their earlier shows, when they first started out, I thought they were pretty good. But then as they became more famous, they became, like you said, more entertainers and less investigators. Mm-hmm. And of course, everything they did was the real thing, and this is real. But Zach is a weird person. You've met him too, right? And
yeah.
We've met him several times at Paracon, and he just has, I don't know what's living inside of him, all kinds of awful things, if you ask
yeah.
me.
You know? I don't know. I mean, from what I can tell, I mean, he seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
I don't understand the show version of him. Because the show version is very different than the real life version, you know.
He's very shy in real life, and he kind of tends to hide, you know. The other two, Aaron, is right out in public, and he's fun. He's a fun guy. But Zach is, yeah, he's kind of hides, and he kind of backs away from people. And if there's too many people, that he, you know, he'll leave, you know. So, interesting. But, yeah, like I said, when they first started out, I really enjoyed them. But, yeah, no. I haven't watched it for years. You know, the ones that I do enjoy, speaking of paranormal shows, is that new one with Ozzy Osbourne's son.
Jack
Osbourne. Yeah, he's pretty good. I really like, because he just is so skeptical, which is what we need more of, I think, in those shows, you know? I did catch a couple of those episodes, too, and that was a good one. I like that one.
I think that's called, what, Portal to Hell or something like that?
Yeah, it has a crazy name, Portals to Hell. They were at some old fort somewhere. It was the one that I caught anyway, and it was good. I mean, but he was very skeptical, you know, like I said, but that's good. We need more of that rather than, you know, here it is. We're in the Portal of Hell, and this is happening, and I'm being scratched, and blah, 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 and you know what I mean? That's just theatrics. Let's keep it out. But you know, we always laugh, and we always say, but if we were to do a real paranormal investigation on TV, nobody would watch it because it's very long and arduous. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of sitting in a dark room and talking to the air, right? You know?
Yeah. A lot of times you don't know you have evidence until you go through and review it because it's happening, you know, not behind the scenes, but it's like on audio or, you know, video. And sometimes you can have evidence that you look at and then you look at it again and there's something that shows up after. Mm-hmm. Like days later, after you've already reviewed it once.
Uh-huh.
It's like you have to go through it again and see if anything else showed up, because it can.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes you don't know how active a place is until late, a long time later. And, you know, it boggles my mind how much activity happens on these shows right in front of the cameras as they're doing it. It's like, that doesn't, I don't know. I've done hundreds and hundreds of investigations and that has never, like, sometimes it happens, but not every single investigation.
No, never. That's why everybody wants to be a paranormal investigator, right? Because they think that's how it is. It's just nonstop action from the minute you get someplace. Well, that's not really true. And the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And sometimes you can go over things and you think you found something. So then you give it to somebody else on the team and then they look at it and they find something totally different. They might still mm-hmm. see what you found, but oh my God, then they found this, like you're saying. You know, sometimes it's like, when you're writing something, you have to have another set of eyes look at it to make sure the grammar's okay and the spelling's okay. Same with this stuff. You got to have another set of ears or eyes on it to just make sure that you caught everything that's there. Dave's saying that's what people need to see. Yeah, but, you know, nobody wants to see that, really, unfortunately. I mean, they do show some of that, but not very much. Sherry or Aaron, you go in because you're my bait. Yeah, poor Aaron.
He doesn't have to go in. He goes in. He wants to. He may not act like he wants to. He wants to.
I know. He does. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? A whole hour almost has gone by, Heidi.
I know. Well, you know, when you start talking about all these crazy little topics and, you know, fun facts and conspiracies and whatnot, it's fun. And it's been a crazy chat room. Thanks for sharing in the chat room, everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talked about, you know, aliens, you know, space station on the moon for extraterrestrials and the Denver airport and Lizard Man. And, you know, now we're down to Zach Bagans.
Oh, yeah, we've kind of spiraled down.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. But yeah, no. So it's been phenomenal. And full moon this week, everyone.
Coming up Thursday.
Yep.
Actually, it's Thursday morning early, so you probably be able to see a pretty good full moon on Wednesday night, but it's technically officially full on Thursday morning.
Yep. So, and I can tell it's coming full. I know I just looked today because I thought I haven't been out to look at the moon at night, but I'm like, I feel crazy. I wonder if it's a full moon. And sure enough, it's like 96% full. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, this is why. I get it. We get it now. And all the, you know, the eagle, I have to get down and see the river eagles because I'm sure they're getting big. And, you know, I was over and Anita, super fan Anita, they have a nest of owls by her, and Casey and I went and found them. And there's two owls there because, you know, we lost our owls by me. And I've seen Mama, and, you know, she just looks so sad because normally she'd be training those babies right now, you know. And I do see them every once in a while. But we went over there to see these owls, and oh gosh, they were so cute. But boy, they were ready to fledge. And I know several people were there watching too, and they're all like, "When do you think they're going to leave?" And I'm like, "Oh, I would say within a week. They're going to be fledged. You know, if you want to look at them, you really need to watch." So I need to go back and look at my pictures because I still have. See, I've just been so crazy busy and stuff. I just haven't even really looked at those on the computer. Hopefully, I got some good shots. But I have to go down to see the river eagles because they grow so fast. They just grow so fast. So, anywho, well, I guess we better close the show because we have like 1 minute left.
Yeah, 1 minute. 1 minute countdown. So, yeah, this was fun, and we do have some guests coming up for the next handful of episodes, so we're going to keep you posted on that, and so stay tuned to our Facebook page, because we'll have it posted on there, but thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, and the chat room was wild and woolly and fun, and we loved it, and everybody out there listening,
it was wild. Maybe we should do one show a month that's just kind of a wild, woolly subject of the night. Thing and let everybody run. You know, I mean, it's been really fun. I think we should think about this. Anyway, so listen to the calling tomorrow night, our sibling show at 7 o'clock right here on the Para X Network. And thanks, Para X, Sarge, everyone listening. Have a fabulous week.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Have a great week. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.